Christ is typified in the book of Proverbs as Christ our wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is probably, it's one of your five wisdom books. Personally, I think book of Proverbs is the greatest book in the Bible. I think that every story, every illustration, everything that you're going to find in the Bible, every principle, and you know how big I am on Bible principles. I tell you that in time, you know, you ought to have a biblical Bible principle for everything you do in life. The principles are in the Bible, and a principle is a rule of action. It tells you how you should govern yourself, how to make decisions. Principles in the Bible keep you from making bad choices and bad mistakes. And so the Bible's filled with principles, and we talk about them all the time. Personally, I think every principle in the Bible ties its way back to the book of Proverbs. You've heard me say this many, many times. If there was one book in the Bible that I wish I could get down to total recall and everything that I do would be the book of Proverbs. That ain't going to happen, but I wish I could. But anyway, I want to give you a workable outline of book of Proverbs. You need to put these outline as the other light outlined at the beginning of your Bible. If you have a wide margin Bible, which we all, most of us have here, what you want to do, what we're trying to do, we're trying to give you a context of every book in the Bible. You can't just jump into the books of the Bible and then make it all happen. You have to get a context for each book, and then you can attack it from then and break it down. So that's what we're going to do in the book of Proverbs. And I'm giving you the basic outline of these books that are the natural outline. This isn't something that somebody divided up or broke down. This is how God divides his own book down, and that is the best. You may buy somebody else's book on Proverbs, and he may have a great breakdown of the book. I didn't get these out of a book. I got these from the Lord. This is exactly how he breaks his books down in this thing. He's typified as Christ our wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The book of Proverbs breaks down into three sections. And I know I've given some of you that before. We're going to get a little more information on it tonight. If you ever notice the book of Proverbs, again, when you break down a book of the Bible, you want to look for the natural divisions. You don't want to put a division where God didn't put one. Let me show you, and this is an easy book to see that. You're going to find that in section one, the first seven chapters start out with Solomon, and he always starts these chapters out by saying, "My son." I think one time he says, "my child" or "my children" or whatever. But he always starts these chapters out with a saying, "to my son." And you'll find this in the first seven chapters. What he's doing there in the first seven chapters of section one is he's giving you and me what Proverbs will do for you, chapter by chapter. And I have them broken down here, this in basically the theme of each chapter. But you're going to find that each chapter in the first seven chapters of Proverbs, basically he's telling his son, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. He's telling his son what you want to get out of the book of Proverbs, what the book of Proverbs will do for you. And it's one of the most incredible studies that I ever took in my life, and it would take you at least 6-7 months to glean all of it out of there and do all the work on it. But I'll give you the basic outline. Now, in chapter 1, and you'll find this in the first 8 verses, he talks about the son hearing the instructions of your father. And the Bible gives you a lot of instruction. And the reason why, the Bible gives us a lot of instruction is because of the fact that we need instruction. And, it's like the same way with a child growing up. The father or the mother, they provide instruction to that child. So the first thing you're admonished to do is hear the instructions of your father. Now, in that context of chapter 1, there's a lot of things he puts in that context that would go under that heading, but I'm just giving them to you. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, the second thing is to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And the thing I want to impress upon you is this, is that far as I am concerned, and you know my stand on this, the Bible is the mind of the Lord. When God wrote us a Bible, he basically gave us a Bible that contains his mind. That's why it's an eternal book. That's why it's a book that no man could ever conjure up and put together. What you have in your Bible there, if you have a King James 1611 authorized version, is you have whatever the mind of God is in a written form. That's why the Bible keeps revealing itself in different ways. I've been through the Bible a number of times, and every time I read it, you know, I find 1,000 things I never saw before. Why? Because you're looking into something more than just a book. You're looking into God's mind, and that's what we talked about Sunday in the depth of the Word of God. And, you know, that's what you have here. So he talks about the wonders, two things. The fear of the Lord, that's a subject unto itself in the Bible. That's not meaning that you are afraid of what God is going to do to you. Nothing about that. That's a reverence concept of fear. And then find the knowledge of God. Notice it doesn't say to find the knowledge about God. It says find the knowledge of God. In other words, the book of Proverbs and the Word of God will give you the same knowledge that God has. That's what it's saying. And that's a tremendous. And if you remember our studies, there's 7 steps to get that. We talked about that before. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 1, that chapter focuses on hiding, my son, keep thy commandments, hiding the word of God in your heart. That goes back to Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it talks about learn good doctrine. And if you know your Bible, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. The first thing that is profitable for is doctrine. Doctrine is the number one thing you got to have. The word doctrine means to teach. And there are specific teachings in the Bible that you must have down that are right doctrine. And of course, wrong doctrine always leads to heresy. So it talks about the fact that he encourages his son to get good doctrine, learn good doctrine. Chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, down through there, talks about the danger of false religion and false doctrine. And you're going to find that in the book of Proverbs, there's two people you're to watch out for. One of them is a strange woman. That'll be your first wife. The second one would be, well, your mother-in-law, in the case if you only married once. The second one would be the evil man. And what you have there is that in the book of Proverbs, the strange woman always represents religion. And you'll find it, she represents and personifies the Roman Catholic Church. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, Babylon mystery religion, which is the Roman Catholic Church, is the mother of harlots. In other words, she is the mother from all the other religions come from. Yes, even the Mormon church, and we'll talk about that maybe at the end. But she is the one that spawns all of the other false religions. You may not see how, you may not think she has or how she ever could. I guarantee you, every cult on this planet followed the same basic fundamental cult concepts that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And we'll talk about that in time. So that's chapter 5. Chapter 6 and verse 1, basically, be careful who you hang out with. The great verse in the New Testament, evil communication corrupts good manners. And you are who you associate with. And he warns his son to keep away from people who are going to mess him up. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, you're going to find, strange woman. In this particular case, she seduces some simple young guy who's devoid of wisdom. And really, the example in there is a picture of any major city have a prostitute working her street corner, and some guy walks by, you know, and she catches him with a wink, you know, and he gets enticed, and so then she takes her up to the room, and she destroys him. And of course, that's the picture of what, if you read that chapter there, you'll find that the hooker in the particular chapter is a very religious lady. She's paid her vows, she's laid her bed out with tapestries, she's very religious. It's the Roman Catholic Church found in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, who's called the mother of harlots. And you'll know that the Roman Catholic Church, as most cults, all have a female deity by which they're connected to that take the place or at least even with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two women in the book of Proverbs, and those two women are going to run your life. And the first woman is wisdom. And that's why you're going to find wisdom in the book of Proverbs is personified as a her. And the first woman in the Bible that you want to hang out with is that one. And she's personified as wisdom. The second woman in the book of Proverbs is the strange woman. And that'll be the whore of Revelation chapter 17 and 18 and she destroys people. So the first section there, the first seven chapters, they deal with the instruction that he gives to his son. Now I'm going to come back and put this in a historical doctrinal inspiration application here in a little bit. But right now, that's what you want to get down and you want to understand about those first seven chapters. That's section one. Section two runs from chapter 8 to chapter 30. And that'll be 22 chapters that deal with the rules of conduct, or I put up here the Christian life, but it's basically the concept of having the right kind of relationship with God, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. And so those 22 chapters deal with the issues of life. Those 22 chapters, you will find everything that you're going to ever get into, every challenge you're going to face, every decision you got to make in life, every aspect of everything that you have to do in life, deal with in life, get across in life, work through in life is found between chapter 8 and chapter 30, those 22 chapters. I call that those 22 chapters the issues of life on planet Earth. There's not a thing that you're going to struggle with. There's not a thing that you're going to deal with. It deals with the things that people who will joke with you and pun with you, and yet at the same time they're trying to get a jab into you. They're masking it with humor. It covers everything. I mean, it's an incredible chapter. And if I could live my life in that in those 22 chapters, I'd do it. But that ain't going to happen in my brain. But anyway, so that's section two. Now, section three then is the end result. And the end result of getting the first two sections in your life, learning everything that your father has for you as his child, and then applying the principles in your life and making the principles of Proverbs work for you in your life. I call this a working knowledge of the Word of God. Using the Bible, knowing how to use the Bible. There's two great words in Proverbs that you will get when you come through this whole thing. One of them is discretion. The other one is discernment. Discernment is the ability to see things as they really are, not as they appear. Discretion is the ability to know when to do something versus know not when to do it. And that is what comes out of this. But section three is the end result, and the end result found in Proverbs 31 is the virtuous woman. And that virtuous woman is a picture of you and me as the church. That's what we should be. If you went down there and laid out her life, looked out her life, took it verse by verse, which we've done many, many times, Proverbs is in our Bible study stuff back there someplace, you would find that this woman, this virtuous woman, step by step, chapter by chapter, is everything that what we should be. Notice the Bible says her price is far above rubies, and that's because over in the New Testament, church is called the pearl of great price. And, you know, when you get over there, a little bit later on in Song of Solomon, when Song of Solomon writes about the woman that he finds, he says that she's black. She's a black woman. And yet the Bible says she's a pearl. Solomon had 1,000 wives, concubines all mixed together there. And out of that 1,000, he only found one. And she was a black woman. And when you put that all together, you'll find out that the church is likened to a pearl. The reason why she's a black woman is because she's a servant of servants, and after you and I get saved, we ought to be a servant of servants. Black pearls are very rare. I asked a jeweler one time how rare they were, and he said, oh, about 1 in 1,000. I said, amen. He said, what'd you say? I said, oh, never mind. But that's what you're dealing with. And so you find that this woman is a picture of the church, this virtuous woman, what you and I should be. So you got section one, you got section two, you got section three. Now let me put it in a doctrinal, inspirational, and historical application for you. You're going to find that historically, when Solomon writing, he's writing to his own son, which we know to be Rehoboam. Obviously, Rehoboam didn't work out too well with it because Rehoboam winds up being an idiot and causes all kinds of problems. Doctrinally, it's the Holy Spirit writing to the nation of Israel. Remember now that in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 4, the Bible says that God calls Israel his son. So when you find places in the Old Testament that he's talking about a son, in most cases, doctrinally, it'll be a picture of him writing to the nation of Israel. Truth of the matter is, doctrinally in the tribulation, doctrinally in the book of Proverbs, the evil man is the Antichrist, and the woman is the great whore, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. So doctrinally, the Holy Spirit of God is writing to the nation of Israel as God's son. Inspirationally, he's writing to you and me, because you and I are God's son on an individual basis. Israel's God's son on a corporate national level, but you and I are as individuals because of the New Testament, the body of Christ, and the spiritual reworking, the regeneration in your life and my life. Inspirationally, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God writing to you and me. So that's what you've got, and that's how the book of Proverbs lays out. The guys always write them up that you can get copies of them, and we'll do that for you. We'll hold up with that. I need to get the guys to bring the screen back over, and we get this thing lined up and where we need to do it here. And we're going to, the reason why I put the little